Hello and welcome again to the Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details in each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. A 10-year clean for an Iron Age boat makes it ready for display. Bronze Age remains are saved from destruction in England. Prehistoric skeletons are found locked in an eternal embrace in Italy. Forensic photography brings colour back to ancient textiles in America. And finally, a land project threatens ancient Antiguan settlement. A 2,000-year-old logboat discovered buried in mud is to be put on display after a 10-year restoration project. The Iron Age vessel was found in 1964 during dredging work in Poole Harbour in Dorset, England, and members of York Archaeological Trust have now restored the waterlogged timber. The logboat, which is thought to have been used for continental trade, is estimated to have weighed 14 tons. A glass case has been designed specially to house the ancient timber, which is due to be displayed in Poole Museum in June. The final cleaning of the vessel has been scheduled to finish this month. The logboat, which carried up to 18 people, would have been based at Green Island in the harbour. After it was found, it was kept submerged in water for 30 years while archaeologists decided what to do with it. As part of the conservation project, the boat has spent a decade soaking in a sugar solution before being dried out at Poole Scalpel's Court Museum. Logboats seem to be like buses at the moment. You wait and wait, then three come along at once. Remains dating from the Bronze Age have been saved from destruction by a quick-thinking excavator operator at Tidworth in Hampshire, England. Bob Gaunt works as part of the team constructing new service accommodation, and it was during the excavation works within Birtpore Barracks he revealed the graves. The area was immediately sealed off to allow specialists from Wessex Archaeology to investigate the find. Dating back to the time of Stonehenge, the four graves are 3,500 years old, making them the oldest finds in Tidworth. The bodies have been cremated, and the ashes in three of the graves were covered by pots placed upside down. The fourth burial was not covered by a pot, and instead may have been wrapped in cloth, long since rotted away. The site itself has markings that appear to be an ancient ditch which ends next to the urns. Nick Truckle, project manager at Wessex Archaeology, said that the Bronze Age burial mounds are a very familiar sight even today, but not everyone would have been buried under a barrow at this time. As the four graves lay in a line, they imagined that the sites of the graves were marked by some sort of memorial, and as the graves are so close together, this small cemetery may have been a family one. The site reopened for the building work to continue after only 2 days. Wessex Archaeology removed the urns to their laboratory, where they will be studied to establish the age and sex of the dead. Using radiocarbon dating on fragments of charcoal from the funeral pyre, it's hoped to get a close dating of the finds. Archaeologists have unearthed two skeletons from the Neolithic period locked in a tender embrace and buried under Mantua in Italy. Buried between 5,000 and 6,000 years ago, Elena Minotti, the archaeologist who led the dig, said that the prehistoric pair are believed to have been a man and a woman, and are thought to have died young, as their teeth were found intact. Double burials from the Neolithic are unheard of, and these two are even hugging. The two skeletons are now called the Valdaro Lovers, from the area where they were found. Archaeologists digging in the region have found some 30 burial sites, all single, as well as the remains of prosperous villages filled with artefacts made of flint, pottery and animal horn. The burial site was located during construction work for a factory building on the outskirts of Mantua. Alongside the couple, archaeologists found flint tools, including arrowheads and a knife. The skeleton on the left has a flint arrowhead near the cervical vertebra. The skeleton on the right has a very long flint blade under its thigh. Archaeologists found two other flint knives under the pelvis of the right-hand skeleton. Although the Mantua pair strike a rare and touching pose, archaeologists have found prehistoric burials in which the dead hold hands or have other types of contact. This is said by Luca Bondioli, an anthropologist at Rome's National Prehistoric and Ethnographic Museum. the find has more of an emotional than a scientific value, but it does highlight how the relationship people have with each other and with death has not changed much from the period in which humanity first settled in villages, learning to farm the land and to tame animals. Establishing the cause of death could prove almost impossible unless they were killed by a debilitating disease, a knife, or something else that might have left marks on the bone. The two bodies, which cuddled closely while facing each other on their sides, were probably buried at the same time, an indication of a possible sudden and tragic death. It's rare for two young people to die at the same time, and that makes us want to know why and who they were. But it will be very difficult to find this out. DNA testing, however, could determine whether the two were related, but that still leaves other theories, the Romeo and Juliet possibility just being one of them. Archaeologists are now turning to forensic crime lab techniques to hunt for dyes, paint and other decoration in prehistoric textiles. Although ancient fabrics can offer clues about prehistoric cultures, often their colours are faded, patterns dissolved and fibres crumbling. Forensic photography can be used to analyse these artefacts more effectively, according to New Ohio State University research. Normally when you dig artefacts out of the ground, especially stone or ceramic ones, you wash them and they look great, but you just cannot do that with textiles. Christelle Baldia, Ohio State University doctoral graduate in textiles and clothing, conducted the study with Catherine Jakes, professor of textile sciences in the College of Education and Human Ecology at Ohio State, and published their findings in April 2007. Putting forensic photography to the test, Baldia and Jakes examined textiles from burial mounds built by the Hopewell, a prehistoric Native American people who flourished about 1600 years ago. In their study, the two investigators focused on pieces of fabric recovered from Ohio's Sipe burial mounds in the southern parts of Ohio. Experts believe some of the pieces belonged to a canopy of fabric that arched over the remains buried inside the mounds. Textiles often come out looking like brown rags, yet Native American dress is described as colourful by early travellers and pioneers. Forensic scientists use different light sources such as ultraviolet and infrared to visualise stains or fingerprints on clothing. But Jake said no one has ever used this method to look at ancient textiles. Under non-visible light, many pigments and dyes absorb light energy but release it in different wavelengths or colours of light. This behaviour can reveal faded or deteriorated artwork in the textiles. To find fluorescent patterns in textiles, Baldia and Jakes simulated daylight, ultraviolet light and infrared light, then photographed the artefacts with special film and light filtering camera equipment. The photographs ultimately helped them to see undetected patterns and markings in some of the artefacts that they examined. The researchers hope their technique will become standard practice for analysing textiles and even other organic artefacts like wood or leather. Archaeologist Reginald Murphy, a consultant to the Antiguan government, said that work crews that began removing trees on privately owned property over the weekend risked damaging pottery and other artefacts at Indian Creek, one of the most valuable archaeological sites in the Caribbean. They've cleared the land, ripping out the trees, disturbing the soil and making it difficult to get a good stratigraphic chronology. Representatives from the Ministry of the Environment and Tourism were meeting with the property owners to discuss preserving the site and were not available for comment. Officials declined to identify the owner or the purpose of the project. The low-lying site in the island's interior was partially excavated in 1973 by Yale University researchers led by Irving Rouse, who used the different pottery styles found near the dried-up creek to establish a cultural chronology for the Arawaks. Antigua has two other valuable archaeological sites, one also dating to around 500 BCE, and the other that was settled closer to the arrival of the European explorers. But only Indian Creek was occupied continuously throughout both periods. Murphy hopes something can be done to slow down the development to give time for some excavation, as otherwise they are in danger of losing the single most important heritage site on the island. Can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK heritage calendar, library and guidance section can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And more can always be found on Stone Pages, news.stonepages.com. Don't forget to check out Past Horizons at www.pasthorizons.com for a host, in fact over 300 volunteer opportunities in archaeology around the world. Thanks very much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you return again to us next week.